Well, just as I come before you this evening, I want to share a number of different verses from the Psalms. I just want to start with one in Psalm 86. And David penned these words. He said, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Now, you'll know already from my accent, I don't come from the city or anywhere near the city. I come from County Tyrone, and I come from a little village called Caledon, not too far from the Monaghan border or the Armagh County as well. And I grew up in that little village. I was the oldest of three girls. And we've heard that phrase before, steps and stairs. And we were three little girls. There was about 3.5 years difference. I'm the oldest and my sister Shirley is the youngest. And I remember about the age of four, like most children in Northern Ireland, I went along to Sunday school. And I learnt my lessons every week and we had our catechism. And I loved learning about God and I loved singing the songs that we did in Sunday school. But you know, when I was learning about God, God to me wasn't real. He was just a person. He was God in a book of the Bible. And there were some things that I couldn't make sense of. And one of the things was I did not understand or know why Jesus died. We were taught that Jesus was crucified and no one had told me why Jesus was crucified. So there were some things that maybe about the ages of 5 and 6 didn't really seem to make much sense to me. But God, in his kindness and in his mercy, he had a little children's club about 7 miles from our village in the village of Auchnacloy. And there was a family relative took a lot of us as children to this meeting on a Friday evening. And I think I was about 7 years old when I started to go there. And you know, this place was different because the ladies teaching at the front, they were born again believers. We knew that whenever they prayed, that they prayed and they talked to God as if he was real because they knew that God was in their lives. And as a little child, about 7, this made sense. You could see this very clearly. And the stories were the same. The lessons were the same. We did quiz and memory verse and we learned a lot of different choruses and we were learning about salvation. And again, I hadn't heard salvation. What was salvation? What did it mean? But you know, at this little children's club, I learned very quickly that I was a sinner. Romans chapter 3 reminds us that we all are sinners. And then we were taught as to why Jesus died. Jesus died for love of the world. He died for love of sinful people. So all of these things began to fit into place in my mind. They made sense to me. And you know, at the end of those little meetings, the lady at the front, she would pray and she would say the sinner's prayer. And she would say to us children, if anybody wants to pray, pray these words in your heart and then speak to someone. But you know, I would have went home and I would have prayed those words in my heart, but I didn't tell anybody. And, you know, at that time, there were maybe a number of excuses or a number of reasons why I didn't come through to be a Christian. Sometimes I thought, well, I'm too young, I'm only 7. God wouldn't want me to be a Christian at 7, would he? But, you know, God was speaking to my life and he wanted me to come to him. Another time I thought, well, sure, I've plenty of time. Sure, I've got my whole life. I can get saved before I die. But I've later learned that the older we get, the less chance there is because our hearts become so hard that we do not listen to the voice of God. Other times I thought, well, it's irrelevant. Sure, God loves the world. Surely he will take us to heaven. But again, needing to remember and to remind myself that God was holy and that God had to punish sin. And another thing, these were fears, you see, that the devil had. Another fear that I had was fear of my parents, because my parents were not saved, my grandparents were not saved. And so I had this thought, if I become a Christian, would I not offend my parents? Would they not say, you don't need this salvation? What is wrong with the way we have brought you up? So that was just something of what was going on in my mind and my heart as a little girl. And I have to say, whenever I went to high school, my heart was becoming harder and harder. Again, the older I got throughout my teenage years, I wasn't hearing God's voice. I wasn't in the places where I would have had his spirit working in my life. But you know, God has ways and God has means of reaching us. And just going back into 1998, God sometimes works in ways that we don't imagine. And I told you at the beginning that I was one of three little girls, and my middle sister was diagnosed with cancer at the start of 1998. She was diagnosed at the age of 19. And you can imagine, coming from a church background where God didn't seem real, it was a very difficult situation for us. But one of my uncles had become a Christian, and he went to a Pentecostal church where they believed that we could pray for the sick. And my uncle phoned my mum and dad one evening, and he said, there's a healing meeting. I think it was a Thursday evening. And he said, would you bring your daughter along? And my mum and dad, they said no, maybe out of ignorance, maybe out of fear, not really knowing what to say. But they thought about it again, and then they phoned my uncle back, and they went along to the meeting that night. And again, God came and God spoke. God touched my sister's life. Not that he healed the illness, but God took away the pain that she was suffering. And for many days, for many weeks after that, she was able to sleep well. She was settled. She was comfortable. But the chemotherapy continued. But, you know, this was a very real challenge to us. It was God was making himself real to us and making himself known to us. And God was showing us that he cared and that he had plans and purposes for our lives, that he had salvation for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my dad would go along to this church on a Sunday evening with my uncle. And about the May of that year, my dad became a Christian. He had turned from his sin and given his life over to the Lord. Over the summer months, when my sister was well enough, my mum and my dad and my sister would go along to this church. And one Sunday evening, towards the end of August, my sister responded in an appeal in the morning meeting. And up she went to the front and she confessed her sin and she entrusted her life into the hands of God. And she would have come home. And she used to tell me different testimonies, and she would tell me about what was happening in the church. Because at that time, I was about 20. I wasn't going along to church. I was in a relationship with a guy of another religion. So in a sense, this was my excuse. And I said, well, that's good enough for them, but I'll be okay. But, you know, God was pointing and God was saying, what about you? I want you to come to me, because God, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the weeks passed by. My sister went through her chemotherapy. She went through her radiotherapy. Christmas came and went, but unknown to us, the disease was spreading internally. And towards the end of February of 1999, my sister died. And I can remember just thinking, is this gospel message really true? Is it real that God can forgive, that God can save a life? And my question was my sister in heaven? Was she accepted by the Lord? Was the blood of Jesus enough to cleanse her from sin? But, you know, after the funeral, I got out my Bible that I had got in Sunday school. I started to read, and I was asking God to give me an opportunity to be saved. Now, don't forget, I had gone to this little children's meeting. I knew the sinner's prayer. I knew the way of salvation. But again, there was that fear. If I prayed in my heart, then I would not be able to tell anybody. So I was asking God to even put people in my life and put a way in which I could come to know him. And so the next couple of weeks passed by. My aunt, she died then of cancer, and we were at the church service and God was speaking through his word. And Easter Tuesday of that year, there was a gospel mission. If anybody has heard of Willie Honeyman, he was about 6 miles from our home, and he was there for 10 months or so. And I wasn't aware that he was there, but my dad had been going along to this mission, and he said to my mum and myself one night, would you like to come along? And we were trying to play it cool and not let on that we were interested, but we made a deal. I said to my mum, I'll go if you go. And God had been working in the heart and life of my mum as well and preparing her for that moment of salvation. So we went along to the meeting that night. We were singing hymns about the blood, hymns that I'd never heard of before. And there was a visiting speaker there from Enniskillen. Now, he had never met us before. He didn't know anything of our circumstances. But he was preaching that night, and the title of his sermon was Time No More. And he shared a lot of different illustrations of young people that had been killed, other young people that had died. And he was really saying to repent, to turn to the Lord while we still had opportunity. And it came to the appeal, and I felt I was so hot, I thought I'm going to burn through this pew. But eventually I managed to get my hand up. My mum put her hand up, but I didn't know it at that time. And at the end of the meeting, when people went out and people went home, we went to the front, and the visiting speaker and Willie Honeyman, they were able just to share with us again that we were sinners, that we needed to repent, and we needed to put our trust in what the Lord Jesus had done for us. And so I'm not sure the words that I prayed that night, but it was just simple faith that I came and I acknowledged that Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can remember going home that night. There was certainly a sense of peace and joy in my heart, even in the midst of grief. And God was to change a lot of things in my life over the course of that next year. But Trevor and Esther Gallanders, they had been faith mission workers in Monaghan at the time. And towards the end of that year, through a friend from school, I started to go to the youth meetings in Monaghan. And about a year after that, the summer of 2001, Trevor and Esther were conducting a tent mission. And I was just going along, just like a lot of the other young people. But God started to work and God started to speak into my heart and life. God had a call on my life to go to into the work of faith mission. But you know, I struggled and I wrestled with God's speaking voice, and over a number of months I was trying to process all of this, and I thought, well, I'm inadequate. Why would God want me? I'm not sufficient. And eventually, after the Easter time of 2002, I just responded and I said to God, if he wanted me to go, I would go. And so in the September, I went with five other people from Northern Ireland. And again, I was there and I was feeling a tremendous sense of inadequacy and feeling I can't do this. And I remember the first Sunday, we normally have a testimony time where all of the students share. And, you know, all of the students got up and they sat down, and I thought, they're very normal. You know, I thought, maybe this is the right place. It didn't feel so bad. And, you know, over those 2 years, God was working and God was transforming. And God was preparing me for the work of faith mission. And so I've come to the end of 11 years work in faith mission, some in Ballymena, some in Clogher Valley, Portadown, and also in Edinburgh. But God has been good and God has been faithful. He has never let me down, but he has given me the strength and the grace that I need. But you know, there are many different things that happened maybe throughout the course of that time. There were lots of joys, there were lots of sorrows. But you know, as a young Christian, I felt in my heart, maybe this was a wrong attitude, but I thought, yes, God can heal, but sometimes he doesn't want to heal. And maybe I had an attitude towards God at that time. But I remember about halfway through my college course, in the October time, we were home for our half-term break, and my mum and my dad had told me that my mum had cancer and she had gone for surgery. And again, I just felt all those old fears coming back, just the fear of the future, the fear for the life of my mother. But you know, God stepped in and God healed in that situation. And my dad, about 5 years ago, my dad was unwell again with cancer. And again, God stepped in and God brought healing. And you know, it's wonderful even just to sense that God's ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways. God has ways of wisdom that we know nothing about. And we have to allow him to be God in every situation. But just over the last week or so, God has been challenging me with his greatness. And you know, over the course of our lives, when difficulties and trials and problems come, we can often carry maybe that sense of sadness with us or that sense of a cloud over our lives. And God was just speaking to me and reminding me that no matter what, he is still greater and he is still good, even in all of our problems. And I just want to finish by reading some verses from Psalm 145, and it tells us again of God's greatness. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. And so I just want to encourage you in your walk of faith this evening, continue to trust God and just continue to prove his greatness and his goodness in every area of your lives. Amen.